out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. Come about. You say my opinions are not fact. I want to ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar
in, is there death in tax? It's taxes that will probably kill us, along with a lot of other good and great and grand things that are going on. Good evening. Welcome to The Edge. I'm your host, Jeffrey Bennett. I had to think about that for a minute. I'm not quite sure who I am today. Just one of those days, you know? I got people I owe phone calls to. I've not had a chance to get to it. It's unreal. Amazing grace, how sweet it is. Watching markets not as closely as many people think I should be. But what's the point? You know, there's not a lot of movement going on in my market. It's reasonably flat. Goes up a little bit, goes down a little bit, settles right where it was a few weeks ago. Rhodium is sitting at $11,800 an ounce, which does nothing but drive the cost of automobile manufacture up. And that's why you're paying 70 grand for a stinking pickup truck today, folks. Come on. Palladium off $3, closing at $22.12. Most of these figures I'm giving you are bid prices. Ask is a little bit higher, but, you know, you see the general trend. Platinum down $3 at $8.71. Silver down a nickel in the after hours at $24.29 or thereabouts. Gold at $19.05.20, which is about where it was 2 weeks ago. Okay? Interesting stuff, let me tell you. A brief piece that came to me, short while ago, it's kind of interesting, given no matter what happens a week from today or whenever they settle this crap, gold is going to wind up being the real winner. Republican and Democratic candidates for resident may be the most flawed in U.S. history, and yet one of those two guys, God help us, is going to be sworn in this January. It starts getting even spookier because if it's Biden, you know, he's not going to be there long. And the cackling camel, that's what she's now become. Apparently she's showing up as drunk at some of these functions as Pelosi is. And she cackles like a witch and wasn't even sure where she was. The last place she was at is unbelievable. Well, if you're like me, I'm not betting on either one. Government spending is already out of control. Replacing Trump, the self-proclaimed king of debt, with Biden, a 47-year career politician, is unlikely to improve matters in this country. It's simple. Four words. Whoever wins, we lose. That's why I'm putting my money on gold. Other investors appear to have done the same thing. The yellow metal is up about 26% for the year. Think about that. Where were you 10 months ago? What have you been doing in the last 10 months? Picking your nose? Up 26%. About three times higher than the S&P 500. I see only additional upside potential. Gold price has been trading sideways for weeks, but I expect this to change as more government stimulus is rolled out and even more money is printed, except the whole stimulus thing has darn near been put on hold. Nobody can be happy about anything. Oh, our new Supreme Court justice was sworn in, and boy, they're ripping into her at Six Ways to Sunday. That stupid bimbo from Hawaii, when she went to cast her vote, stands up, walks up to the microphone in the front of the place, and asked if she's going to vote for Barrett, you know, and for the thing, she says, hell no. This whole thing has become foul. Unbelievable. I'll continue to put my money in the gold and silver. Thank you very much. I strongly would urge you to do the same as you can afford to do it. A couple of interesting offers we're going to reshare with you later in this program because they are amongst the best buys out there right now. American Silver Eagles shipped over 1 million ounces this month, over and above what they shipped the previous month. Think about that for a second. Spooky stuff, huh? Well, on top of all that, then we get this lovely little bit of news. Investors now expect the U.S. stock market to crash as it did in October of 1987. Oh, no, these investors have never been more worried about a U.S. market crash. That's great news. It's kind of a counterintuitive reaction because investor sentiment is a contrarian indicator. So I guess it would be more worrying if investors thought there was a low probability of a crash. Now, this upbeat news will be particularly welcome after the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged 650 points. Back then, that was 2.3% on October the 26th. Yesterday. Huh? Yeah. Worst one-day decline since early September. Historical data on investors' beliefs about crash probabilities comes from Yale University finance professor Robert Shiller. For more than two decades, he and colleagues at Yale have been surveying investor sentiment by asking the following question. What do you think is the probability of a catastrophic stock market crash in the U.S. like that of October 28th of 1929 or October 19th of 1987 in the next 6 months? Including the case that a crash occurred in the other countries and spreads to the U.S. An answer of zero, by the way, means it cannot happen. An answer of 100% means it's sure to happen. Well, in this piece we've got published, there's a chart we have which plots the results referred to by Shiller and his colleagues as the U.S. Crash Confidence Index. Shows the percentage of individual investors who think the probability of a crash is below 10%. The lower numbers in the chart mean that more investors believe a crash to be likely. Yeah, not good. And today is one of those times. Close examine of the chart also shows why a contrarian interpretation of the CCI or U.S. Crash Confidence Index might be warranted. You'll note that the other occasion on which it got as low as it is right now was the spring of 09. Which coincided with the bottom of the financial crisis-induced bear market. That was a great time to invest in the market, but not today. That early 2009 experience is just one data point. Strong statistical support for the contrarian interpretation emerged when you begin to analyze the CCI going back to 2001, which is when the survey began to be conducted on a monthly basis. All I can tell you is the numbers are really spooky. Strongest results at the 24-month horizon. The difference between the returns shown in the table is significant at the 95% confidence level that statisticians often use when determining if a pattern is genuine. The difference in the table at the 12-month horizon is of marginal statistical significance. In a recent opinion article in the New York Times, Shiller pointed out a big difference between now and the situation that prevailed in the spring of 09. Then the stock market was far less overvalued than it is today, as judged by the cyclically adjusted price earnings or CAPE ratio, if not outright undervalued. The market's strong performance after the spring of 2009 might therefore have been a reaction to the market's valuation rather than a contrarian reaction to the widespread crash anxiety. And when you get these interesting reactions, what happens? The brokers get into play, man. So if all of this is the case, then contrarians should think twice before concluding that today's widespread crash anxiety is bullish. Schiller then goes on to say that there's a behavioral basis for concern. Anxiety increases the chances that a negative self-fulfilling prophecy will flourish. In other words, tankety tank. And yet those who cling to their analysis, since even after eliminating 2009 from the sample, the contrarian interpretation continues to enjoy statistical support. Well, Schiller had an email sent to him and he didn't respond, but then I've added an additional link. It's simple. It's been years since investors have been this fearful of a stock market crash. Why do most of us care? Frankly, I'm not invested in the stock market. And I don't think you are either. Or maybe you are. But the fact of the matter is that we have other things to be concerned about. I believe it was yesterday. What is today? Is today Tuesday? I think so. Yeah, it is. I've lost total track. I shared with you yesterday about my early day travels. Post office to ship mail. Off to the coin store to pick a few things up. Off to my publisher, my printer to... I'm the publisher, but I'm off to my printer to pick up an order of books. And then heading home, and I realize I'm damn hungry. And so I go to McDonald's. Not the one I normally go to. I know all the people over there. They kiss my butt. They take good care of me. There's some jerks over there, too. But what do you expect? It's McDonald's. So as I posted on Morgana Precious Metals earlier today, McDonald's, 93rd Avenue and Thomas Road, Phoenix, Arizona, Dateline, October 26, 2020. I order my breakfast. Had to explain it to her several times. You should have seen them going through crazy stuff to get my order done the way I wanted it, but they did it. In fact, it was damn good. And as I go to pay, the cashier, "You must pay with a card or have exact change." "I have no change." At which point, of course, I chewed her out for having no understanding as to why they had no change. And so, my friends, sit back for nearly 10 minutes as I introduce you to the truth about the coming cashless society.
People will never see cash unless they visit a museum.
Digital currency. Cashless society.
Digital cash takes the worst of surveillance capitalism and the worst of surveillance state, merges them together in this fascist dystopia where every transaction you ever made tells something about your habits, your politics, your associations, your movement, your physical location. And on the one hand, all of this data gets collected and shared among all of the intelligence agencies and corporations, or leaked. And on the other hand, if the people in power choose to, they can decide to debank you overnight. They turn off the switch. Now imagine what happens if your bank account is shut down and cash doesn't exist. Well, you can't eat. You can't buy food. Done. You can't use transportation. You can't rent an apartment. They can literally destroy your life in a second. This is happening today in China.
Social credit score system rank its citizens based on their online behavior.
The state will go over every detail of a person's life with a fine-tooth comb. Their financial situation, spending habits, career, even behavior on social media.
People who have a negative credit score on that system are denied access to public transportation. They're denied access to airlines, they're denied access to trains, they're denied access to jobs in the government, they're denied access to apartments to rent. They're doing that today. Now, today, those people have cash to go back on. What happens when there's no cash? This very misguided idea that if you eradicate cash, you'll eradicate crime, which of course you won't, because people will substitute cash with something else. And also, if the only people who are allowed to be intermediaries are the large corporations, they will commit the crime. It's like if you want to rob a bank nowadays, the best way to do so is to have a banking license. Then you can rob the entire bank and or country with complete immunity. If you rob one person and steal £20 from them, you're going to jail and you're going to spend a long time there. If you rob 2 million people of their homes and mortgages, right? You're not going to jail. You're getting a 10 million bonus from the bank, and you're retiring in peace and quiet in the countryside. I'll tell you a really, really important story about what happened to me recently, in fact, last week. I was doing a book signing at the conference, and this guy comes up to me and he said, "I was really touched by what you said, and I want to share my personal story with you because this is very, very personal to me." He said, "I have not been able to open a bank account in more than 10 years. I'm Iranian. I was born in Iran. I haven't been to Iran in more than 15 years." Young kid who's in his 20s. The last time he was in Iran, he was probably like 5 or 6 years old. Maybe, right? "I have a job. I pay taxes. I have a college education. I don't break the law. I'm entirely above board. All I want is somewhere for my company to pay my salary so I can have a debit card and buy groceries. I cannot open a bank account. I couldn't open a bank account when I lived in Malaysia for 4 years. I can't open a bank account now that I live in Germany for 6 years. Every bank I go into, the moment I say my name and they ask me my place of birth, they immediately stop everything. I can't open a bank account. Doesn't matter how many things I show them. I have no criminal record. I've lived in free countries for so many years simply because of where I was born, something I had no control over. And I have no association with anyone in this country. I have no association with the government, no interest in the politics, just because of where I was born. I cannot live my life. I cannot transact." You know, these people, through no choice of their own, have done nothing wrong. And the banks can simply say no for no reason without even telling you why. And that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. And of course, when a bank account is now required to do almost anything, try renting an apartment without a bank account, without showing bank statements, or try running a business without a bank account. So you need an ID to get a bank account, you need a bank account to get everything else. But it's not a right, it's a privilege, and you can just cut off millions of people from access to the world economy. Make them non-people. 1 true peer-to-peer, or several, perhaps even thousands of alternative peer-to-peer digital internet-based currencies that do not belong or not controlled by any state, any corporation, that are run by rules that are collaborative, that depend on the participation of all of the people who use them, and that give you complete freedom. P2P, or peer-to-peer, encompasses the ethos of this entire movement. It's about decentralization. It's about them not having an intermediary in between you. And I like to call traditional payment systems peer to corporation to corporation to corporation to peer, where you didn't invite any of those three corporations into your transaction. they just injected themselves. So Bitcoin is a currency that exists on the internet, that is created on the internet, that really serves the needs of the internet generation. It does not belong to any government. It's not controlled by any bank. Bitcoin isn't a company or product or a service. It's an internet protocol. It's a method of communication, just like we say the web or email, and that doesn't belong to anyone. It's a shared common public good on the internet. Bitcoin is a digital currency and payment system that is a shared good, and it is controlled collectively by the participants in the network. Bitcoin is completely global and open system of money that anyone can participate in without asking permission, without registering for an account or showing ID. All they need to do is download an app. Just like if you want to participate on the web, all you need to do is download a browser. If you want to participate in Bitcoin, all you need to do is download the Bitcoin wallet. And the moment you do so without registering with anyone or creating an account, you can send and receive Bitcoin. And why would you send or receive Bitcoin? Well, for many people who live in Western advanced nations who have debit cards and tap to pay, and it's not really necessary. But in a broader sense, we live in a world that is very fragmented, where money faces borders, very hard borders, strict lines of demarcation between countries and currencies. And you have these national currencies that are badly managed by governments and banks in countries where there is very little difference between a government, a bank, and an organized crime syndicate. All three are the same. The governments are organized crime syndicates.
Zimbabwe, the banks, maybe, case in point.
And dozens of countries are like that. Right. And so what happens when they have a crisis is they take the entire population hostage with them. They shut down the borders. They create currency controls. You can't withdraw money from the ATMs. You can't exchange money for another currency. You go with the ship and sink down with it. And what's interesting is that Bitcoin is one of those things that actually offers a safe haven in that particular situation. But it also allows people who have never had a bank account to connect to a global financial system simply by downloading an application on a very, very simple smartphone or even using text messaging. There's more than 4 billion people who are in that situation. And Bitcoin gives everybody a currency that is open and global. It allows us to create a kind of unified financial system that exists outside of the mandates of government, that is completely private and is very empowering for individuals. It scares the hell out of governments that find it peculiar to have people in control of their own money, at which point you should really ask yourself, what kind of government is that that doesn't believe in freedom of association, freedom of expression, freedom of commerce? That's more of an indictment of that kind of government than it is of Bitcoin. If your government is afraid of Bitcoin, you should ask yourself, what kind of government do I have?
Very interesting. I find the recording we just listened to, which, by the way, if you want to listen a bit more carefully to it and more closely and watch the images that flow with it, it is published on Morgana Precious Metals. It's the second posting as of this evening called The Truth About the Cashless Society, and it opens up with the warnings of exactly what is about to happen here. We will be forced into, you know, where you could have $100 in a bank account at B of A or Chase or whatever, or you could have $150,000 in there. And if this government goes cashless, or they found something out about you that they don't like, they could wipe you out instantly. You'd have no access to your money. When we go cashless, well, you'll have access to your money, but they'll have access to every single move that you make. And if you happen to be on the wrong side of the political totem pole, as it were, they can cut you off from everything. No medicine, no doctors, no food, no money to pay your rent or your mortgage payment, your car payment. They wipe you out. But then at the other end of this, the guy is getting into this big pitch for Bitcoin. I'm not knocking it. but it's something else that is being massively controlled. And that scares me. Last week, we discussed, well, let me share this with you. It's a quote from Marcus Tullius Cicero, who said the evil was not in bread and circuses per se, but in the willingness of the people to sell their rights as free men for full bellies and the excitement of the games which would serve to distract them from the other human hungers which bread and circuses can never appease. Amongst the big problems we face in this nation today is that we as a people have bought into it. And the day is coming we'll not even be able to afford the bread. You see, the Fed reckons that the public is foolish enough to believe that the Fed's money will actually be free. It is a new tyranny that very few recognize. I strongly urge you to, if you've not done so, to go back and review that as well. Extremely, extremely important piece. So if you go to Morgana tonight, take a look at the truth about the cashless society, drop down two more headlines, and reread the new tyranny few even recognize. We live in strange times. Very strange times. I want something in my possession that's going to allow me to get through the earliest stages of whatever is coming. We may find that we'll be able to get well beyond just the earliest stages. And these things we don't know. And when we are facing the unknown is when we prepare for whatever might come our way. That is preparation. That's where I want to be. I want to be able to survive, to get through, to be able to plan, to replan, to get up and get out of Dodge if I have to. You need to be in that position as well. Shortly after the break, we've got a couple of offers we're going to talk about tonight. And I have to share with you, this has been an interesting situation. Because I know what the people in this country are going through out there, trying to put food on the table, other things. And people don't have the money that they once had to be able to invest heavily in gold or silver, precious metals of any type. They don't have the money to invest in security. A lot of you are out there buying food, as you need to do. Food storage, things of that nature. Some are out there buying special brand of cough drops. You know, Smith and Wesson Brothers. Things of that nature, trying to be prepared for whoever may try to come kick in the door. It goes on and on and on. And I don't find fault with any of you for doing that. Of course, if you've got, you know, a sidearm and a couple of bullets, I guess you could rob somebody, but that's not the point. The point is I want to be able to care for my family. I want to have something in my pocket that's going to allow me to pick up some goods when necessary. We got a break here. We'll be back in a few minutes. And I don't give a damn about a greenback a dollar. Spend it fast as I can for a wailing song and a good guitar. The only things that I understand, oh boy, the only things that I understand.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? You say my opinions are not fact. Is it opinion and it's death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. Come about. You say reality is what you please. I wanna ask you, does water freeze at 32 degrees? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about? A dollar.
Oh, welcome back. I had to go outside and check on the camel. Interesting enough, the piece of music we came back with, which I think is the one we opened with tonight, I don't even know anymore. It's not important. Is kind of a, to some degree, an introduction to my commentary for the next few moments. It's deals with what we call the money supply versus liquidity. In a market economy, a major service that money provides is that of the medium of exchange. Well, in this coming society we're going to be facing, we'll still have a medium of exchange, but we're not going to have as good a time with our tax filing. I can smell all this coming. You're going to try to claim things that you've always claimed that are all of a sudden going to be disputed by the IRS. So you can not expect to see your money in 4 to 6 weeks. Producers exchange their goods for money. They then exchange their money for other goods. And as the production of goods and services increases, it all results in a greater demand for the services of the medium of exchange. That's the service that money provides. Conversely, as economic activity slows down, the demand for the services of money follows suit. Demand for the services of the medium exchange is also affected by changes in prices. An increase in the prices of goods and services leads to an increase in the demand for the medium of exchange. People want more money for the same goods, like toilet paper 6 months ago. But people now demand more money to facilitate more expensive goods and services. A fall in the prices of goods and services results in a decline in the demand for the medium exchange. According to von Mises, he once stated the services money renders are conditioned by the height of its purchasing power. Nobody wants to have in his cash holding a definite number of pieces of money or a definite weight of money. He wants to keep a cash holding of a definite amount of purchasing power. Simple. That's where the precious metals come in, my friends. And amongst the problems that I believe more and more that we face is that historically, I could come on the air during any of my programs for these past 25 years, and people always wanted to stretch their money as far as they could. I understand that, because I need to do that in my everyday life, no different than you do. But when it comes to purchasing precious metals, they'd get more bang for the buck by buying 1 ounce gold pieces or pre-1933 $20 St. Gaudens and Liberties, because after all, they were private and there was no reporting. There's no reporting on the other stuff either, other than those few little oddball areas I've shared with you in the past. Man, I've sprained a finger here today. Good God, it hurts. Let's take an example where an increase in the supply of money for a given state of economic activity has taken place. Since we did not have a change in the demand for the services of the medium of exchange, all of this means that people now have a surplus of money or an increase in monetary liquidity. But since the early part of the last century, our money has lost 99% of its purchasing power. Why? Because the cost of goods has gone up that much. It's inflation. It's greed. It's manipulation. Think about the days when Obama and Biden resided in D.C. Gasoline prices at some points reached, in some parts of the country, over $5 a gallon. Think about that. You got a vehicle that holds 20 gallons of fuel, and you're forking out $5. What is that? $100 to fill your tank? It's costing me about $40 right now. And even that's too high. Other parts of the country I can go to and I can fill that thing for $26. It's crazy. Of course, a not so obvious, no individual wants to hold more money than is required. An individual can get rid of surplus cash by exchanging the money for goods and assets. Individuals as a group, however, cannot get rid of the surplus of money just like that. They can only shift money from one individual to another. What a bunch of nonsense. I mean, it's not nonsense, but come on. Get rid of surplus cash? Oh, that's right. That's like when the folks first got their first stimulus check at $1,200 per adult. And $500 or $600 per kid. So let's see, you got mom and dad in the house. There's $2,400. And now let's say you got three or four kids. There's another up to $2,000. Ooh, man, that's some big money. And I ain't going to have to pay no taxes on that. So we're going to go out and pick ourselves up a brand new big, let's get one of them big 70-inch TVs, man. I saw more people walking out of stores, out of Walmart and Best Buy. They got that stimulus money, and they spent it. Well, they got rid of their surplus cash, all right. They really needed a new TV. They just couldn't hack that 42-incher anymore, right? Oh, please. Get out of here. You know, there's a TV in the other room that my wife is on all the time. And I purchased that when I was living at my son's house. Not because I cared that much of watching TV. First of all, I wasn't paying for the cable. And I mean, I had cable there, but it was for my computers because I was working when I was there for that 11 months. But I would turn it on and watch YouTube. I got to watch some fine, fine music. The presentations, individual tube movie, you know, music, sometimes complete presentations, an hour, 2 hours long. One of the best live performances I ever saw was Sade. It was filmed back in 2011. They eventually took it off of YouTube. The only way you can get is to try to buy the disc. But because it's so outdated now, no one's going to want that. What an amazing performance. Don't talk to me about surplus money. What a joke. There's no such thing as surplus money. Not anymore. Savings accounts aren't what they once were in this nation because the cost of living has gone up so much. How many raises do you think that these people are going to see in this nation today when they're no longer going to have to come to work? They're all going to get to stay at home and continue to work for the company. And the company's going to say, well, you don't need a raise. It's not costing you money to come down here. No, you're staying at home using your electricity. And you're having to buy more food because you're at home. Or you're having to go out to more restaurants. Blah, 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 blah. This is not going to end well. Doesn't matter if you're talking politically, economically, or any other way. The fact that you're going to wind up using a debit card for every single purchase that you make. The IRS will make a decision what is now going to be a truly deductible item on your taxes. Of course, Ron Paul was always right. You know, time to audit the Fed. Basically shut down their collection agency. Well, that's what the Federal Reserve is. They're nothing more than the collection agency for the IRS. And that money doesn't go to pay down any debt. The amount of money that they suck up off the taxpayers, the taxes, does nothing more than pay the interest on the national debt. The national debt's never going to get smaller, my friends. It's never going to be paid off. It's only going to grow. And for those reasons, I continue to lean toward the gold and the silver. I've got some very good gold offerings right now. I am an absolute lover of the Valcombi gold products. There's the gold combi bars. They come in more sizes than they once did. Obviously, we can buy 1 ounce bars. We can now buy 1 ounce bars that are breakable into 1/10 ounce pieces. I've got the ability to barter, to trade. You know, we got a farmer here in Arizona. He and his wife have got a page on Facebook that aren't playing the game, but they're offering meat directly from them without all the junk that they've been adding to it and the poisons they've been feeding and anything else. I guarantee you I could go to those people and say, look, I'm not sitting well with cash right now, but I've got some gold. You want to swap, you know, some gold pieces for some produce, some meat? I think we're going to find that that's going to be exceedingly acceptable. It may not last for a long time. It may last only based upon the amount of gold or silver you have. Yeah. Some of the gold Valcombi bars right now, and this one has become a marvelous bargain. It is a 1 ounce gold piece that is breakable into 10 1/10 ounce pieces. They snap clean. They don't divulge dust all over the place or anything else. Good friend of mine received a package of her stuff today. She's already bought some of the gold. She bought some of the silver recently. Estimated cost for you right now, $2,125. Is that, you know, no, this much I'll tell you. If you compare that with trying to buy 10 1/10 ounce gold American Eagles, I promise you're going to save about $500 by buying this Valcombi bar. They're all stamped. They're all marked. It's very easy to determine exactly what the weight and the purity and everything is. It's perfect. Now, I happen to be a strong silver lover. From the age of 10, I began to buy silver. I've told you this a gazillion times. And Valcombi, earlier this year, introduced a brand new product that I am ecstatic about. Absolutely superb. We've talked about this on and off for the last couple of weeks. We've had some good, strong buyers for it. And I think it's a phenomenal place to be. It's a Valcombi 100-gram silver bar. Well, it's a silver card. Well, what's a gram, Bennett? 3.215 ounces of net pure silver. Breaks off into 100 1-gram pieces. You can see it at Morgana Precious Metals right now. Even if you go there through RBN, click on the picture of the pirate babe, Captain Morgana. And if it's programmed correctly, it should take you directly to Morgana's treasure chest. And you'll see a picture of exactly what this is. 3.215 ounces of pure silver, minted in Switzerland by one of the finest minting and manufacturing companies in the world. 101 gram silver pieces. It puts you in control. How much are these things? About $150 per card, not per gram. Per card. Now, on a cost basis, based upon what an ounce of silver is worth, it's a little high. Try to buy 1 gram pieces of silver individually. Try to buy something that will fit in your back pocket or your front pocket. Forget that damn cell phone. Stick this little card of silver in there or of gold in your pocket or in your purse, or you got to get up and go and travel. You'll find people that run gas stations that'll be more than happy to do some swapping with you. Especially folks out in the country. They get it. They understand it. And more people are going to understand it. Right now, they're ranging in price $150 to $152 a piece. That's not per gram. That's for the whole 3.215 card. When I first introduced these, I told you I had to pretty much do a minimum package of 25 of these. How about we cut it down to 10? Now think about that. You're talking roughly $1,520 to buy 10 of these cards. 30 some odd ounces, almost 31, 32 ounces. I don't know what that works out to be. I can't worry about it. And it's breakable. It's controllable. Think about it. You go out to buy junk silver. Junk silver's up there right now. Not as bad as it was 3-4 months ago, but it's up there. You know, you go out there with 715 ounces. Right now, the last price I saw was some $17,000 or something stupid like that. And that's a heavy bag. Comes down to sticking a few cards in your pockets and your purses and your glove compartment or under the spare tire or whatever. Or taking a young child versus a, you know, 45, 50-pound bag. If you can only take one, hopefully you're smart enough to take the kid. So let me suggest this to you. Obviously, we can see some price adjustments based on the overnight, but I would suggest this. If you have an interest, give me a rough idea how much. You can either give me a call tonight at 602-799-8214. You can text me at that number, 602-799-8214, and just say, hey, Jeff, it's Joe Blow, whatever your name is. Don't say Joe Blow. I'll get five of you that'll do the same thing. And just say, I'm interested in buying, you know, 10 of the silver packets, or can you do five of the silvers and one of the gold packets? I'll work with you. I'll do everything I can. I work for you. This is your money. I don't play with it. And if these things have got interest, it is one of the most amazing ways to survive and plan to beat the future. You're not going to have to pull out that debit card and play the game. Of course, at the end of the year, when you've done nothing but use gold and silver to buy food, they're going to wonder how you ate. None of their damn business. Anything I can do to beat them, I'm going to do it. And it's something you need to do as well. Hey, it's gold. It's silver. If something comes up and we're still operating in some form of a cash system, you can always turn it back into cash. Okay? There's people in your hometown that will buy your gold, buy your silver, whether it's a jewelry shop, a coin shop, a pawn shop, whatever. You can always turn around and instantly raise paper if that is an absolute emergency. Never in history have one not been able to sell gold or silver, period. You can also send me an email. Go to the website, MorganaPreciousMetals.com. Lower right-hand column is our email. Gold at Morgana Precious Metals. Just click that on. Click it. It'll open up your email program and put us in there. You tell me what you want to talk about. Give me an idea what you're looking for, and we will talk later tonight. We may talk tomorrow. And we're going to pick up what you need. We're going to get it at a fair price and get it out to you very quickly. This has been an hour that I had not anticipated. I thank you for joining us on our program tonight. The Edge, protecting your wealth. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. We got some interesting health things to talk about tomorrow. Stay with us, won't you? There's more coming up right here on Republic Broadcasting. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with the grunts and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances. Say, I sang 20 years and a day,
But nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love. There's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door. Say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.